You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs here. Today's show is an interview with former Cavs two-way player Jerron Blossomgame. Jerron is not going to be back with the Cavs, according to people that I've talked to. He is not going to have his offer tendered for him next year. I did not know that at the time of his recording, as he was home training in Atlanta, and the expectation, I think, was from their side at least that he would be back with the Cavs next year. But I think you'll enjoy the interview. There's a lot to learn about what he had, what he was like as a two-way guy, what life was like for him as a two-way guy, and that's really the big picture of this show. I think you'll get a lot out of it. In terms of Cavs news, there's not really much right now. So Jordan Clarkson is now with Clutch, a.k.a. the agency with Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Darius Garland, and that LeBron James guy. And then Kevin Porter Jr., that trade has officially gone through. So his draft rights are now officially with the Cavs. That was completed late on Wednesday. So that's where we are with the Cavs right now. Free agency again kicks off Sunday, 6:30. We'll see what happens with David Nwaba. We'll see if they do tender him an offer, and we'll see what other kind of moves the Cavs make. Summer League coming up very soon here as well in Utah and then Las Vegas. But without further ado, here's our interview with Jerron Blossomgame. For you, when you watch the Toronto Raptors beat the Warriors, beat them in six games, beat them in the last game, you know, on that arena, and obviously all the injuries factored in that series, but were you surprised just how that series ultimately unfolded?
I was surprised, yeah. Before the series started, I thought the Warriors would end up winning somehow, even without Kevin Durant, but you know, with his whole injury that happened in game five and then, you know, Klay going down last night, it's kind of tough for those guys to get it done. Toronto's a really, really good team, and I think people really found out, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals when they beat Milwaukee. You know, not many people talked about Toronto until the finals. But, I mean, they were, you know, their whole thing is strength in numbers also. You know, they got guys off the bench like Van Fleet and Ibaka to play well, and, you know, they're a really good team. Really, really good team. Kawhi Leonard is probably, you know, top three player in the league right now. And, you know, he proved that last night. And, well, the whole playoff, really.
For you, you had the leg break when you were in AAU. But for you to look at guys like, I mean, Klay shot, like, as we know now, shot those free throws on a torn ACL. KD came back from the calf injured and, unfortunately got hurt. Is it from the athlete's perspective, from a player's perspective, and obviously your injuries was a little bit different, but is there something just that it's hard to understand unless you've played at a high level or trying to compete at the highest level about, you know, gutting it through injury that maybe we in the media and the general public just doesn't quite understand?
Yeah. I mean, I think every injury is different, obviously. Every player's body is differently. Every player responds to things differently. You know, some of these injuries where it's like a little nagging pain, like most of the time you can play through it. Well, in my instance, when I was in high school, I had a stress fracture. I didn't know about it. I kept playing on it because it was a pain that I could play through, and it really didn't bother me that much until it broke. So, you know, it's just finding a balance. You know, now, you know, I wouldn't do something like that because of what I've been through. But, you know, most athletes, you know, you're not going to playing a full 82 game season. You know, you're not going to be 100% every day. You're going to be dealing with, you know, ankle sprains or bumps and bruises from throughout games and stuff. So, you know, I think that's kind of just the human nature of athletes to kind of play through some pain because you're not going to be feeling well at all, you know, throughout the entirety of a season.
How do you – what is your approach to recovery and just making sure you're staying healthy? And I know – because I know there are sometimes you played, like, several games in a row, or at least active for several games in a row going from the G League to the Cavs. So how are you staying and working to stay just fresh and as healthy as you possibly can be over that long grind of a season?
Well, the whole injury I had, you know, it put me out of basketball for about a year and a half because I had some complications, you know, after the first surgery. And, you know, and that really taught me a lot about taking care of my body. You know, my strength coach at the time in Clemson, he was really big on rest and recovery and rehabbing. And, you know, that kind of just stuck with me. I mean, you know, being a professional athlete, you know, you can't perform without your body. So, you know, I did a lot of stuff. You know, even this year, you know, being a two-way player, like you said, bouncing between the G League and the NBA, you know, you got to do your best. I mean, I had a stretch this year. We played in Houston and then New Orleans, and then we traveled to L.A. on a Saturday. I played in the G League game and then played against the Lakers on Sunday. So it's four games in a row and not much rest in between. So, you know, you got to stay on top of your body, foam roll, ice bath, stretch after every game. And, you know, if you're not feeling well, you got to let a trainer know and try to get on top of that early because, like I said, an 82-game season, man, like you don't get many breaks. And when you're out there on the court, you got to be expected to perform at a high level.
Since you've become a pro or in college, have you adapted your diet? Like, done some of the guys have gone plant-based. There's all the different diets that a lot of athletes and people are doing. But have you adapted your diet in any specific way just to get an extra edge? Or is there a certain thing that you maybe don't eat in season that in an effort to just stay healthy and stay as, you know, as clean and ready to go as possible?
I try to eat a lot of clean foods. I mean, during the season, you know, we have our chefs and stuff. We get most of our meals, you know, brought to us. But yeah, I mean, I take supplements and my vitamins every day just to make sure I'm getting proper nutrients. You know, there's not anything I try to stay away from. I try to keep my protein and carbohydrates and stay hydrated. Because most of the time, like, you know, a lot of issues come from like dehydration. Most people don't even know they're dehydrated. But you lose so much sweat, you know, when you're practicing all the time, playing all the time, and then flying on planes. I think one thing I really emphasized this year was just making sure I stay hydrated at all times because, you know, when you're traveling from the East Coast to West Coast, you know, low altitudes, high altitudes, you know, that stuff really makes a difference. And if you have so many games, you just got to be at tip-top shape.
So let's look at the being a two-way. What is being a two-way player like as compared to that people might not know that? What is just that daily reality like when you know, could be called up to the Cavs at any time from Canton or, you know, you're going back down to Canton? Just what is that, the reality as a professional athlete, being a two-way player like for you?
Well, fortunately for me, I think, I spent most of my days in Cleveland in a row. So I think I had about a month and a half, you know, up in Cleveland. They did a really good job of giving me my schedule every week, letting me know what days I'll be with the team and what days I'll be in Canton. So I could pack accordingly. But I got friends all around the league that are on two ways that are saying, like, some teams don't let you know until it's, like, the day of the game or the night before. So Cleveland did a really good job at, you know, letting me know, you know, when I'll be with the big club and with Canton. But it's hard, man. Like I said earlier, you know, I had that stretch where I had four games in a row. Going back down to the G League is always tough. Because the travel is different, you know, the rehab is different, you know, you don't have the same resources, the same facilities as you do with the NBA team. So it's definitely an adjustment period, but, you know, it's tough, but you got to make the most of it. I mean, playing in the NBA is obviously a huge opportunity and a huge dream come true. So, you know, that's just a part of the process, you know, accepting situation and you know, taking full responsibility for everything.
So what are some of the key differences from when you were with the Charge and when you're with the Cavs in terms of, you know, your living situation, you know, the food you have provided for you by the team? Like, what are just some of the key differences that, you know, that the average fan maybe just doesn't know?
I mean, it's a night and day difference, if we're being honest. You know, the G League is definitely growing. It's definitely improving. But, you know, it's not the NBA. You know, the NBA, you're flying, you know, the flights you fly, you know, everything's first class. You get good meals on the plane. You get unlimited snacks or whatever. You travel to the best hotels. You get the best treatment, best recovery. You have your team masseuse, all that. Whatever you need, you know, you can have it. You know, in the G League, you know, it's just different. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, early in the year, we didn't have, like, meals before games or anything. It's just a struggle. Like, the training staff, obviously, in Canton, they don't have the same resources that we do in Cleveland. So it's just, like I said, it's just different. You know, we got a cold tub toward the end of the year. So it's just certain things like that. You know, it's getting a lot better, you know, as it goes on. But it's just a night and day difference from what you get, you know, at the NBA level, from the G League level. I mean, you travel. We bus pretty much everywhere in the G League this year. Like, we don't ever bus, you know, with the Cavs. So
right.
It's just, you know, you have to get used to certain things. You know, we show up to the airport, we can't, and then, you know, everybody has to grab a bag. Everybody has to check a bag or something like that. And it's just, you know, it makes you appreciate when you're up with the big club and when you're back down the G League.
In terms of scheme, in terms of what you guys are running, the Cavs obviously own the Charge, and I know there's some communication there, but is it – in terms of the plays you're running and the defensive schemes you're running, are those completely different as well?
No, so I think the G League does a good job at that. They I played with Austin my first year, and you know, those the offense we ran there, the defensive schemes we did there, you know, just like in Cleveland, are all the same. So if a player got called up by the big club, you know, they wouldn't be completely lost, because some of what they're doing in the G League is what the NBA team does. So they want to pretty much do the same things to make everybody in the organization as comfortable as possible. You know, the G League is supposed to be a farm system. You know, they send players down to get it to improve, and you know, they want to come up and be able to do the same thing. So, you know, we had the same defensive principles, same defensive schemes in Canton. So when I go up to Cleveland, you know, it's pretty much, if I understand these things already, just got to sharpen them up a little bit.
Did you find that, you know, Larry Drew and the rest of the coaching staff is, I mean, they obviously have their own set of responsibilities and day-to-day things and tape they're reviewing with the Cavs and with that schedule, but are they at least somewhat aware of, like, what you're doing and how you're developing in the G League, or is it, what is just that process like of kind of making sure they know the work and the development you're putting in when you're maybe not, you know, in independence practicing with the team or with the team on a road trip?
So, you know, fortunately for me and the Canton Charge and the whole organization, Canton's only about a 40-minute drive from Cleveland. And every Canton game we had, you know, I'm pretty sure I can remember there was a front office personnel from Cleveland down watching. So, I mean, they got eyes watching you all the time. The coaches communicate with the guys in the front office and the coaches. And some of our coaches actually made a few G League games actually from watching me play. So, you know, they understand the grind and the sacrifice, and they see the improvement down there. So, you know, it's good. It's good. You know, I know it's hard for other G League teams, you know, like Sioux Falls. They're the Miami Heat affiliate team. And, you know, I'm sure it's hard for them to, like, be able to keep an eye out at all times. But, you know, for Cleveland and Canton, you know, it's close by. And they do a really good job of, you know, making you still feel involved when you're down there in the G League in the two way.
When you look at the potential option that players – coming out of high school could maybe use the G League instead of going to college. Do you feel like that, in maybe not now, but in a couple of years, as opposed to going to college and not at least getting paid legally, do you feel like that actually is a path that could make sense for an 18-19-year-old kid who just wants a different option? Is that like something that could make sense even if they're not tied to a specific team in some way?
I just think it depends on the person, man, and what you value as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed college a lot. You know, coming in, I had opportunity to play right away. I was in a good situation. But like I said, it depends on the kid and their family situation. You know, if they want to go out and make some money for themselves and then get into the NBA that way, then, you know, that should be their option. But, you know, some kids like college, some kids would rather not do college. And I think you'll see more kids, you know, go overseas or go to the G League, you know, as time moves forward with everything going on in the NCAA right now. But, yeah, that could definitely be a good option for some kids. I think it just depends, you know, from kid to kid. A lot of kids value different things.
How is the game speed for you, G League to NBA? Like, how different is it in terms of what it's actually like and how the game sort of unfolds, or what kind of at the pace it unfolds?
I mean, that's also a night and day difference. Also,
yeah.
NBA, you have the top athletes in the world. The speed, the physicality, the skill level. I mean, it's all different. You know, G League, like I said, it's definitely getting a lot better with guys being on two ways and NBA assignment guys. So you got some good competition down there. But, you know, in the NBA, you know, everybody's high level, you know, throughout 1 through 12 on the roster is high level guys. So you have to be able to bring it every night, compete at a high level. And then the G League, you know, you got competitive games. You got really good players on there, really good teams. But it's just different. You know, the guys are a lot bigger, a lot stronger, and the NBA a lot more skilled. So It's just honestly, it's a whole different game. It's a whole different game. And, you know, I learned that early on. You know, I played, I think, 6 or 7 G League games, and I got converted, and I spent a month and a half up at Cleveland, which I learned a lot. You know, I played well, had some really good games, played well, learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about the process of being a pro, learned how to, you know, act as a pro every day. You know, we had some really good vets in Cleveland this year, and, you know, I learned a lot from those guys.
What was it like being on this Cavs team that, you know, had a lot of roster churn, had ended up being one of the worst teams in the league, and had, you know, a lot of key injuries to guys like Kevin Love? What was it just like being on that team and being around it for so long in the role you were in?
We had a lot of good people on that team, a lot of good people who were veterans. You know, between Dele, you know, he got traded over. We got Dele, he was a great guy. Channing Frye, who was an awesome dude. You know, Tristan. All those older guys, they really, you know, helped bulk with me, and I didn't feel like an outsider. You know, as soon as I got there, I got acclimated with the coaching staff. and everybody was always positive. You know, we struggled to win some games with all our injuries, but, you know, I never came in any day feeling like, oh, man, like, this is going to be a bad day. You know, the guys are negative. But everybody was always positive. Everybody was always happy, smiling, in a good mood. And it was a very healthy environment. And, you know, that's what makes it easy to come work every day and play when you're surrounded by good guys.
I know things picked up towards the end of the season, but when things were got a little bit tough, what were guys like Channing and Tristan and as well as Larry Drew saying to kind of help keep things on a positive track so the season didn't feel like it was just like it didn't become sort of like a miserable experience of some kind?
Well, I mean, I think the character of our guys, you know, it wouldn't have been miserable because we have good dudes, and, you know, we understand. You know, we had a young team, had a lot of guys playing, you know, major minutes early on with all the injuries we had. I mean, you had myself and then Jalen Jones earlier on the two-way, and then Dan Goodell playing a lot of minutes. You know, Colin Sexton was a rookie. Jetty Osman, you know, he experienced big minutes this year. So a lot of guys were learning, and I think throughout the year, which most people don't really understand, is like a lot of those guys individually got better, you know, at certain things. And, you know, we made improvements. We got comfortable playing with each other. And, you know, we played. We were in every game. We played hard. And, you know, that's all you can ask for.
What do you feel like you improved on the most in the last year?
Honestly, I think my biggest attribute is my versatility. And I think being able to use that at the NBA level, you know, it's different. I think one thing that some G League guys struggle with when they get to the NBA is, you know, finding their role and finding their niche and what they do well. G League is a numbers league. You know, you have to put up big numbers to get noticed. And, you know, in the NBA, on the NBA roster, you know, you're not going to be a big numbers guy, whether that's offensively, defensively. You just got to be able to come in and compliment other guys. So when I first got to Cleveland, you know, I know that, you know, attacking the offensive boards were my strength. And with my size and strength, I could be a really, really good wing defender and defend multiple positions, which, you know, the coaching staff trust putting me out there on certain guys. And, you know, I made the most of the opportunity. I think moving forward, the next thing I want to really get better at this summer is just being a consistent three-point shooter. You know, other than that, continuing to sharp up my ball handling, passing, finishing around the rim, just certain things like that. But, you know, I learned a lot about myself, and I really want to improve in, I guess, all aspects of my game moving forward.
At least in terms of from the outside, and you can certainly speak this better than me, it seemed like lineups would change night to night, and as much as you guys were the same group of guys, the change in the roster and injuries did dictate just some lineups and some setups that maybe we didn't see consistently. As a player, even though you know these guys and you've been practicing with these guys, is it hard to, at least kind of until towards the end of the season when you did get guys healthy, is it hard to find that cohesion as a group on the court when there's just so much kind of influx in what you're doing on a night-to-night basis?
I mean, not really. I think everybody was like, even when some of the guys weren't playing, they were still involved in practice. And, you know, we had a good idea of, you know, what they brought to the table and what they did well. And when Kevin got back, you know, we took things slow with him. You know, he played a few games, little short minutes, and he started playing more minutes. And, you know, he got acclimated. You know, everybody's pretty familiar with what he can do. I think with the so much roster turnover, we had guys like myself and a lot of the 10-day guys and a lot of guys they signed. You know, they were given an opportunity to go out there and play early on. You know, Cameron Payne was with us for a little bit. You know, he started a few games and he played a lot of minutes for us. And we just figured it out with each other. We understood what each other did well, and we kind of played off of that.
For you, Cleveland as a city, is coming there for the first time and living in the area, you know, for I assume the first time, obviously. How did it meet your expectation or live up to compared to your expectations of what it was as a city as opposed to what it actually was once you got to live in it and experience it for a little bit?
I mean, as an NBA city, you don't hear Cleveland as being one of the top ones. So, I mean, I heard a lot of that before I got there. But, you know, once I got there and once I started living there and I was able to see the city, you know, I mean, it's a beautiful city. And I didn't realize how big of a sports town it was, you know. The fans there, they love the sports. You know, obviously we struggled this year, but we still had a lot of games where a lot of fans came out and cheered for us every night. And, you know, I mean, that's great to see. That shows there's a great sports culture there within Cleveland. And, you know, it's just a great city. You know, I love being there. You know, I made some friends there, and, you know, me and my teammates have definitely made some bonds throughout the season, and, you know, it was great for me. It was honestly a dream come true.
Do you know if you'll be playing summer league at all this year or no?
No, I won't.
Is that a choice on your part, or is it just something? Just at the point in your career, it's just like you don't really see it as a necessary benefit.
I think it's like collectively.
Yeah.
We decided.
So, and then besides, you know, you're back home in Atlanta, you know, obviously training everything, but what are the things you're going to do to relax before, or maybe just try to make time for now that you don't have practice all the time, the season's not back yet, but what are you going to do with some of the free time you have right now?
Oh, wow. I'm a gym rat, man. Like I love being in the gym. I love getting better. I do basketball stuff every day, whether that's film, in the gym shooting, lifting weight. I want to be the best I can be. You know, year one was really, really fun for me, but I think where the biggest jump where most NBA players make is between year one and year two, where they got a taste of, you know, of what it's like and, you know, what they do well. And I think year two is where you really, you know, buckle down and really, you know, buy into your role and work on things that you'll do in the game. You know, I got a lot of pick and pop threes, a lot of corner threes. So like I said, I want to be a consistent shooter. So I've been working a lot on that. I've been watching a lot of film. You know, becoming a great defender, you know, requires watching a lot of film and just seeing yourself on film and how you react to certain things. And, you know, so with my free time, I'm just focusing everything on basketball. You know, this is going to be a big second year for me, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Are there any guys if you're watching film that's not your own that you're going to look at and just kind of see if you can pick up things from them?
Defensively or just in general?
I guess defensively first, but just in general.
I watch a lot of guys who are my size, who obviously move really, really well. A lot of their technique is some things that I can learn. Obviously, I spent a year with San Antonio's G League team in their system, and they really emphasize defense, and they taught things a little bit different than we did in Cleveland. So I'm trying to take a bit of, you know, everything I'm learning and putting it all together. You know, I think my biggest asset is my defensive versatility, being able to guard multiple guys, being athletic enough to rebound over certain people, and I think that can really be my niche, you know, going forward. You know, I can do that really, really well in the NBA level. So, you know, I really want to improve on those areas. So I guess by watching guys who are my size, who like Draymond Green or Kawhi Leonard or Danny Green, you know, see those guys in the finals, you know, they switch everything. They're able to guard multiple positions and do a good job at it. So just watching some of myself and, you know, some of those, you know, high level guys.
Last thing, when you watched Nick Nurse go to the box in one, what did you think?
I like stuff like that, to be honest. I mean, you know, you're in the NBA Finals. You don't see that stuff very often, but I think it's a good in-game adjustment. I mean, not many NBA teams are used to seeing zones. So I think that, you know, I think that's pretty cool to see, man. You know, I think it's pretty cool to see because you don't see it much in the NBA. And he's had a lot of success, obviously, as a rookie head coach, you know, coaching the G League before. So I understand what he went through and the struggle. So it's great to see a guy that's been in the G League, you know, has some success at the NBA level.
When was the last time you ran a box in one? Like, do you know?
Oh, wow. Probably in college, man, to be honest.
I was like shocked when I saw it. It's just one of those, it just looks so jarring. Like, zone has become less uncommon in the NBA, but it's like, that was like a whole other level of just like, oh, they're really new. But I guess against Curry, it's like the guy that it would make sense against would probably be Steph.
Yeah, I mean, with the injury goal that they had, I mean,
yeah,
you could do that then, you know what I'm saying? You can do that then, but...
Yeah.